Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 99 Yards Podcast. I'm your host, Duncan Terry, and this week I'm joined by Brian Dickey. How are things, Brian?
Hi, Duncan. Yep, all good, thank you. Excited to be talking football. Excited to be seeing a bit of football, actually. Training camp started. Still a month away from the season, but it's exciting times, yeah. How are you?
Yeah, very good. We're doing our best Will Smith, just the two of us. But we're going to talk a little Texans and Titans from the AFC South. But first, exciting stuff. Let's kick things off with Shona's conversation with USA Today's Chrissy Freud.
I'm here with Chrissy Freud, who covers the Tennessee Titans for US Today. And welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you getting on?
Pretty good, staying busy.
So if you just want to tell us a little bit about what is it you do for USA Today?
So basically over there, I help run two sites. I cover the Tennessee Titans and the LSU Tigers. And then I'm also with Pro Football Network covering the Bengals. So it's a little bit of everything.
Oh, wow, that's really cool. So how are you feeling after last season? You know, the Titans narrowly missed out on the playoffs. They had a good run. You know, their free interest agency has been interesting. They did lose a big piece of the offensive line in Jack Conklin and great nickel corner Logan Ryan. They also traded away star defensive linesman Jarrell Casey for a seventh round pick. So with all that, they are quite, you know, huge shoes to fill.
Yeah, I think that the Titans really turned things around. Obviously, a lot of that had to do with Ryan Tannehill last year. After that really dismal start to the season, they handed him the reins in week seven. I think that he definitely had a career year there. A part of me thinks that he has found his system. He's found his fit, because I work with quarterbacks a lot, and some of these guys, there's only certain systems that they can thrive in, and perhaps this is Ryan Tannehill's system. But at the same time, it's hard to ignore that inconsistency that we saw from him in Miami, and a lot of players also have fluke seasons, and so you wonder, is this where Ryan Tannehill is supposed to be? Does he continue to build off of his momentum? And is the Titans offense no longer stagnant and now moving in the right direction? Or does he transition back to that inconsistency in a team that has been overall very inconsistent in the past? I know that you mentioned Logan Ryan. I think that was a big loss because he was on the upswing, as was Jack Conklin. But I think the Titans had a very successful draft. I didn't like their first pick whenever they originally picked that Georgia offensive lineman, Isaiah Wilson. But as you look at it, it makes a little bit more sense, because even though we don't really look at the offensive line as much, they don't get as much attention. An unsuccessful offensive line, or an offensive line with a significant hole in it, is going to impact the whole team. And so replacing Jack Conklin, who was starting to do better after he was coming back from injury finally, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to fill that void with someone with a lot of talent. And I think that Wilson is somebody who might be able to be groomed into that. And then they took my pick for them, which was Christian Fulton, who I thought they should select in the first round. And I'm absolutely baffled that he ended up falling to the second round. But I think that they get a guy who can do really well for them, that can really improve that secondary. That's, I wouldn't call it mediocre, but it's kind of average, kind of up and down, as has been with the majority of the rest of the positions on the team. So I'm looking forward to what they can do. I'm very skeptical, as someone who's covered the Titans for 4 years, as to if they can keep their foot on the gas, because in past seasons we've seen this great victory over the New England Patriots, and then 2 weeks later they fall to some lowly team or get in a really close matchup with a team that's not particularly doing well. So we'll just have to see how that goes.
And what was your thoughts on the Casey trade? On paper, it seems crazy for someone so good, but cap casualties, you know, they happen all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I see the Titans' reason behind the move. I can see why it would take place, but at the same time, that's such a strong veteran defensive lineman and someone who serves as a great mentor to some of these younger guys. But I think now we turn our attention to guys like Jeffrey Simmons, who made a recovery a lot faster than any of us could have thought that he would have. And not only that, but he's becoming one of the Titans' strongest defensive players very quickly. And I think that he continues to build off of that going into this season. And I think that he's going to be a household name in a very short period of time.
So at receiver, A.J. Brown was obviously a sensation as a rookie. And I'm sure the hope is that he steps up further. But Corey Davis didn't have his fifth-year option picked up. He's in a prove-it year. So, which, again, I guess that can be seen as like a benefit.
Yeah, I think so, maybe in a way. I think that A.J. Brown has definitely taken that number one position at the top of the depth chart and really run with it. I think that's something that we can continue to see him do. I talked to Harry Douglas not too long ago, who was with the Titans for a period of time, and he's pretty high on Corey Davis. He thinks that Corey Davis is going to do well. But I think that if he doesn't really capitalize on this season, that we might see a change of scenery for him. And then perhaps some of these guys, that's what they need. So I see Corey Davis as somebody who still has a high ceiling. He's shown us that before, but there is also that chance that maybe it's just not in Tennessee, but this year is going to be what tells us that.
So you mentioned a little bit about Ryan Tannehill previously. They've given him a new contract. Do you kind of see him being a steady quarterback in a run-first offense?
I think that throughout the playoffs, we kind of saw how much more important of a factor that Derrick Henry is, which is kind of surprising why they wouldn't pay Derrick Henry and then put the tag on Tannehill. But, I mean, there's reasons behind that as well. It's kind of risky to pay a running back, especially with the way that this league works and just their durability compared to a quarterback in general. So I think that Ryan Tannehill, he has experience. He can manage the game. He's shown that he can have a really good season in Tennessee. It's a matter of, does he continue that? Can he continue to be that guy? But at the end of the day, I think that Derrick Henry is very important. And like I said, during the postseason, we saw that because there were several instances in which it appeared that Derrick Henry was carrying the team, that the passing game was not necessarily doing as much as it needed to. But at the same time, Henry was so successful, he was so unstoppable until that game against the Chiefs, that they almost, in a way, didn't need that passing game to be as strong. They didn't need to rely on it the same way.
Another person that was quite sad to see go was Delanie Walker, given what he'd achieved with them, especially after an injury-riddled year. But Jonnu Smith looks like he could really step right into those shoes.
Yeah, Delanie Walker is a guy that I really love working with. I only talked to him a couple times, but he was one of my favorite interviews that I did, really easy guy to talk to. I think Delanie Walker, it's hard to see him go, someone who's watched this team for a while, because for a long time, he was really the only reliable offensive target that this team had. He gave them a lot. He was one of the only things that was really rock solid with an ever-changing team. But one thing he did mention to me, and one thing that I have been watching, like you said, is Jonnu Smith. I think that whenever he was originally asked to step up in Delanie Walker's role, he didn't do a great job. He was laying goose eggs every game, and quite frankly, every week I was waiting for him to get cut. But he got his feet under him, and he's done a really, really good job, and he's become a very versatile guy that the Titans can use in a lot of ways. That's really made an impact in the passing game, and I think that he's a name that we continue to see rise. And then behind him, we have guys like Michael Pruitt and Anthony Firkser to keep an eye on, because that tight end room, they're very talented. There's a lot of potential to be tapped there, but we see just these little spurts from them. So I'm really curious to see who can maximize that talent and who can really come forward, because I think really scattered all throughout the roster, the Titans have these guys that we've seen do things. We've seen them come in clutch before. It's just a matter of, can you do that on a day in and day out basis?
Yeah, definitely. So all in all, obviously the Titans have lost a lot, but they have refreshed their roster as well with younger players. So let's look to the year ahead. It's going to be stiff competition again from the Colts and the Texans, but do you see the Jaguars as a bit of an unknown entity under Minshew?
The Jaguars showed the Titans that they could beat them last year. We'll give them that. I don't view Jacksonville as a threat. I think that Indianapolis and Houston are always tough games for them. But as we look throughout history, the Titans have struggled with divisional games. It doesn't matter how well or how badly they're doing. It always seems to kind of be a bump in the road, something that goes either way. And very often it seems to be close. But all in all, when I view the Jaguars, I'm not sold on a lot of things they have going on there. I think that DJ Chark is a really strong receiver. I watched him at LSU. I think he's a guy that can continue to do big things there. I talked with Mike Leach about Gardner Minshew a little bit when I was working with Anthony Gordon ahead of the draft. But I think that Gardner Minshew is a guy that can also continue to come into his own. He's still very early on in his career. So I think that Jacksonville, they have some pieces. They can do some things. But as far as the division goes, I definitely view them as the most lowly threat to the Titans.
And where do you see the Titans going this season?
I think if they put it all together the way that they should, which there's no guarantee on that, I think they have what they need to finish at the top of the top of the division. They really do. But at the same time, I know how strong the Texans and the Colts can be sometimes, and I think that we see either Indianapolis or Houston take the top of the division, and then Tennessee kind of go second, or them kind of flip-flop back and forth until whoever takes it by a very small margin at the end of the season.
We also have that extra playoff spot as well, so do you think that like plays into their hands a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely, because this is a team that's finished the regular season 9-7 so many times. They're kind of sitting right there on the edge, so I think that that helps them a little bit to edge their way in. And like I said, I think that they have what they need to make the postseason, and then now at the extra spot, that makes it even easier for them. So at the very least, I think that we do see the Titans at least edge their way in.
It must have been so fun, though, being a reporter covering them in their drive last year, because it came as such a surprise.
Yeah, it really did come as a surprise, because like I said, the Titans, they started the season, I believe, 2-4, and everybody kind of thought they were going to tank for the number one pick, which is funny because I'm over here in Baton Rouge, and we had Joe Burrow over here, and there were Twitter accounts, and I think one of them was called Blow for Burrow or something like that, because everybody thought the Titans were going to tank, and then they could get Joe Burrow to replace Marcus Mariota when all was said and done. So yeah, it was an interesting ride. It was an interesting thing to cover. It was really exciting toward the end, and I was really working my tail off covering both teams, because you have one in the AFC Championship and one in the National Championship, and obviously LSU went on to win all that.
So it was sort of tank for Tua, it was blow for Burrow.
It was, and I think it's funny because everyone started the season off thinking that Tua Tagovailoa was going to be. He was going to be the guy. He was going to be the number one quarterback. He was the most talented. And I think as far as rare physical ability goes, I think that he's a hard guy to beat out. But between the injury history and then just the mental makeup of Joe Burrow is just unparalleled. I've never seen someone with that high of a football IQ, that level of mental awareness, just everything mentally. And I think that's something that you kind of realize as you go on and continue to evaluate quarterbacks, is just how important – what goes on in their head is, as compared to just the physical traits, because we've seen so many of these guys with these super strong physical traits go out and fail. And obviously a lot of people know that I'm a big fan of Zach Mettenberger. That was one of the first guys that I covered, and he has arm strength all day, but he doesn't have much else, and it mentally wasn't there for him, and so therefore he's not able to do much. And then Brock Osweiler, super tall guy, a lot going on physically, but he wasn't able to do much either. So it's not all about what impresses physically.
What have you got coming up for USA Today and for PFN?
Right now things are a little bit on hold with not much going on. I think that'll pick up more as fall camp starts over here and as NFL teams get back to training camps. So right now it's a lot of just previews and breaking news and stuff like that. I do, as I've told some people, I still have the Steve McNair case file open. I've done a lot of work on that, but it's been delayed because of all these crazy circumstances surrounding mm-hmm. the pandemic. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes at media outlets whenever that kind of stuff's going on. So yeah, we're working on that. And then obviously I had my online harassment case, and I've been advocating for women in sports quite a bit. And that's something else that's also unfortunately gotten pushed back, but I am working on it. I have everything that I need. So those are the two major projects that I think will be published in the future.
Well, they sound really interesting. Mm-hmm. It sounds like quite a lot of work goes into it. You sound quite passionate about them. Yes. But yeah. What is happening with college football then? And LSU, are they back training, or what's going on with them?
Yeah, fall camp actually cranks up on August 17th. A lot of the dates have been just pushed back by the day, it seems like, with everything that's changing. You know, you have all these people switching to conference-only schedules. The SEC has moved to a conference-only schedule. Mm-hmm. And then obviously there's been a lot of conferences that have also canceled their seasons, and that's caused changes within the schedules around the country as well. But at least for now, though everything does seem to change every day, it does seem to be full speed ahead. Moving forward to the football season, LSU is set to start on September 26th. So as long as nothing changes, that should be the case, and the Tigers should be prepared for the season.
So we are going to get some sort of football then.
That's what it's looking like. We'll hope so. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks and good luck for this, the rest of the season. When the season starts. And let's hand back to the studio.
All right. Thank you.
So, Brian, Titans post Jarrell Casey. What do you think?
Well, I'll be honest. I was looking into the Titans. And this probably isn't great for the podcast, but there isn't too much shocking stuff to talk about. I think when you look at the Titans and the move they've made, and it's a bit, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They've signed the two most important players, Tannehill, Henry, as mentioned, and they're keeping a lot of the big pieces in place, which sort of makes sense if you make your way to the AFC Championship.
Yeah, it's an unusual one. And for me, Shoshana and Christy mentioned it a bit there, but the players who have left are huge. Conklin, the right tackle, Logan Ryan, he's still free agent, he might come back, and Jarrell Casey. But they've been replaced like for like, albeit Jeffrey Simmons was there already, but he missed half the season. He looked really good. Isaiah Wilson's their first draft pick, and Christian Fulton was the next draft pick. They're not, you know, like for like skill wise, but they're replacing the players who went out for new talent, and you know, it's just freshened up the team a bit. But I really do think they'll miss Jarrell Casey.
Yeah, I agree. Hell of a player, and it's still an odd one that you only get a seventh rounder for him, but that's the trademark it. But yeah, I like some of the moves he's made, bringing in Vic Beasley. That should certainly help on the defensive front, and like you say, the draft picks, Isaiah Wilson to try and replace Coughlin, and Christian Fulton, cornerback, to try and replace Logan Ryan, who now apparently thinks he's a safety. So they have tried to make some replacements, and I think that's what you've got to do when you're a good team. Some of your good players are going to lose, and you've got to replace them.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And of course, Corey Davis, they brought in the first round receiver, hasn't been doing so well. So they've got AJ Brown, and he's been brilliant, hasn't he? Could you see him, you know, sort of stepping up into that elite role, or you know, is he still a builder? How do you think he'll do in his second year?
Definitely. I think he, especially the second half of last season, was so impressive. And I still think he's a way to go. But if he can continue on that sort of trajectory, yeah, there could be no stopping him.
Yeah, he's a superb player. And he's got Ryan Tannehill thrown to him. He's got his new contract. And for me, it's an unusual one. He did well. Obviously, the offense focuses on Henry. But, you know, the quarterback's still a huge position. And he did well. But I still think he could go either way. I still think he's not the finished article and not exactly. It's hard to find the words, but he could still be the old Tannehill for me. If Henry goes down, I think, you know, they could be in very big trouble.
Yeah, it's an odd one. I sort of see both sides. I see why you sign him. You know, you've got a quarterback who works. Struggled for 4.5 years with Mariota and for years before with numerous quarterbacks. And then, yep, you bring Tannehill in. He works, like we said, gets you to the AFC Championship. That being said, he didn't do too much in the playoffs. But the back half of last season, he was one of the best quarterbacks. Led the league in yards per attempt. And I think it's one of them. When you've got something good at quarterback, I think it makes sense to sign it. If it does work out, it could be a great contract. I think it's $118 million over 4 years. That's relatively cheap for a starting good quarterback. But as you say, if it doesn't work out, you know, you're sort of stuck with it. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Tannehill.
Do you think they're favourites for the South?
Just, yeah, I think so. I think the Colts are going to challenge them with Philip Rivers. But yeah, I'd say they're just about the favourites.
Yeah, they're a good, solid team who are just absolutely consistent as you like now. They're not sort of no frills, but it's going to be thereabouts. I think that they'd edge favourites for me too. So let's move on to the Texans. Next up, we have Anthony Wood from Sports Illustrated, who spoke to me about the Texans. Let's hear what he had to say. So I'm here with Anthony Wood from Sports Illustrated. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, very well. So we're going to talk a little Texans. How are you feeling after last season, winning the AFC South at 10-6, but then having to watch the Titans have the more successful playoff run?
Yeah, it was a little bit, I think 10-6 was perhaps a little bit flattering at the end of the day. It was a really mixed year from the Texans. Saw some great offense from Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's so entertaining to watch, and he's been so consistent these last couple of years, despite, let's just say, that offensive line at times. But I think they've really taken a step forward. I mean, I think the offensive line has taken a big leap forward, and I'm excited to see where this offense goes this year. It's obviously going to be very different without Hopkins. I think the defense perhaps still needs a little bit of work, but it's definitely heading in the right direction. So it's going to be tough with the Titans going the way they are. Obviously, they're going to be tough to stop. And I think the Colts are also heading in the right direction. So it's going to be a difficult year, but it's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, Watson is absolutely fantastic player. He's a big hit. But obviously, the big moves this season have been around some of his weapons. And it really revolves around three big trades. Hopkins leaving, adding David Johnson and Brandon Cooks. To us, the Hopkins trade really doesn't seem like the Texans got very much to the casual fan. are you able to sort of expand on that a little, a little better from the Texans' perspective?
It's a difficult one. I mean, first obviously, reaction was somewhat shock. I mean, I think that's safe to say at the very least. It was definitely a surprise. I don't think anyone really saw it coming, even the players. I mean, Even J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson looked somewhat surprised by it when they heard about it. But
yeah,
the more you sort of analyze it, while you can argue about whether or not they got the right value out of the trade, the more you look at it and see what he's trying to do with this offense, with bringing David Johnson in and then bringing in Brandon Cooks, as you mentioned, he's really trying to create an offense here which is going to be very difficult to predict and very difficult to control. He's bringing in a number of weapons which not only have a great deal of speed, Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks, of course, Randall Cobb, he's got decent pace as well. Then you throw in Kiki QT. He's trying to build a diverse offense. So he wants to take the top off it with the likes of Fuller and then Cooks, have QT and Cobb perhaps coming in the inside. And then you throw in the tight ends as well. I don't think the Texans tight end room gets enough credit. Last year, they were extremely productive. Darren Fells had a career year. He really stood out last year. I think 7 touchdowns. He was a real red zone menace for a lot of teams. And that's going to be really exciting to watch. They've got a lot of very reliable players there. Kahale Waring, someone I know a lot of fans here are very curious to see come through this year. Jordan Thomas, hopefully. He looks pretty good so far. This last week or so, he's looked like he's improved a lot. And then running backs, obviously, you mentioned David Johnson. The Texans did so well with Carlos Hyde last year. I mean, he'd somewhat fallen off the radar in recent years, obviously moving around a fair bit. And then he had a 1,000-yard season with the Texans. It was a system that fit him very well. And David Johnson, for me, is definitely an upgrade over Carlos Hyde. He's a better runner. He's a much better receiver. And he is in excellent shape, by all accounts, right now. So that's really exciting, because bringing in another dual-threat receiver like him, a dual-threat running back, rather, like him, alongside Duke Johnson, it just makes this offense, again, that bit more difficult to predict, because there isn't a clear number one.
I like that. I like that summation that there's no, that they're really varied and unpredictable. And that's Watson all around, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And that's the difficulty with having a quarterback like that who is so mobile, especially if you've got maybe Duke and David in the system. It's a case of, well, who's going to be running it, or where is this going? Because it really could go any which way. I mean, they're both good blockers as well. Darren Fells is another very good blocker, as is Jordan Thomas. It just makes everything that bit more difficult. And they moved Will Fuller around quite a bit last year as well, and Kenny Stills as well, who I forgot to mention, who was extremely productive when on the field last year, because there isn't a clear number one at all in any position, really. I mean, David Johnson will be the starting running back, but Duke gets a lot of reps. Apart from that, you just don't know where he's going to go. And that's really exciting, I think, for a lot of Texans fans. And it's going to be interesting to see how Tim Kelly does his first year as full-time play caller. He was eased into it last year. It's going to be interesting to see how he does this year as the permanent play caller there.
Yeah. Well, I like that analogy. They've gone from having Hopkins the starter to a lot of weapons. I mean, the additions of Cooks and Johnson have obviously a ton of potential to help Watson, but both come with worrying injury histories, when you say. I mean, Brandon Cooks, a lot of concussions, and Johnson just back from long-term out.
Yes, it's a difficult one. I think And I must admit, that was my first reaction as well. And I think for a lot of people, that was their first reaction was, well, we're bringing in players who have had their share of injury problems, especially David Johnson. But if you really look at it last year, he was pretty productive when he was on the field, and he really didn't have too many issues last year. Year before as well, obviously he's had some issues, but he's been on the field a fair bit. He just got bumped down the depth chart whilst he was injured and sort of sat there as a result. So yes, they're taking a risk picking up a contract as big as his. And obviously someone who has got an injury history, but he looks in fantastic shape at the moment. He really does. And he stood out quite a bit in these early practices that the media have been able to watch. So it's not necessarily a big concern for me because, let's be honest, injured running backs are nothing new to the Texans. So I'm sure they'll find a way to deal with it, given their history with Lamar Miller and obviously Arian Foster as well. And then with regards to Brandon Cooks, he has had a few concussions. But I think, from my point of view, I think some people perhaps are making a bigger deal out of it than it actually is. Unless something happens early on to him this year, I mean, I don't think he's really missed many games at all over his career, despite these concussions. So I don't think they're quite as big of a concern as perhaps some people are making out.
Yeah, well, both fantastic players fit. So it's good news to hear that they're doing well. That'll be very entertaining. In terms of free agency, one that is key for me, but maybe flies under the radar a bit, is DJ Reader. Do you feel similarly?
Yes, definitely. It was a big loss losing Reader. He's been a very underrated player for a number of years now. JJ Watt's always been very keen to point him out whenever it came to press conferences, calling him his brother and the best in the league at his position. And rightly so. He was an excellent nose tackle. He's an extremely good run blocker and a menace at times in that defense. So it's going to be he's a real loss because they got a very good value pick there. And he took over very nicely from Vince Wilfork early on. So it's a shame to see him go. Obviously, the Texans simply couldn't afford him. With Watson's new contract coming up, obviously bringing on the likes of David Johnson as well with a bigger deal, and then bringing in Eric Murray, for example, Bradley Roby with some bigger deals, they simply couldn't afford DJ Reader, unfortunately. So on the plus side, Ross Blacklock, obviously being a rookie, he's raw. There's plenty of room for improvement, and he's definitely a different player from Reader. He's more of a pass rusher than he is a run blocker, but I'm convinced that he is a steal in the second round. I was expecting him, and I know a lot of people were, to go in late first round. I definitely think he's going to be a good replacement. They may need to move some players around a little bit more, whether that's moving JJ inside a bit more to help in the run game, possibly someone like Charles Omenihue as well, maybe Angelo Blackson, just to help out that a bit more in the run game. But I do think Ross Blacklock will prove to be a good replacement in the long run. It may just take a bit of time.
Yeah, it's definitely a benefit to be able to, you know, when you haven't got a first round pick, to be able to get someone who is projected in the first at a position of need. So that was a really good pick. But of course, the draft was dominated by the Tunsil trade. Was there anyone else in the draft that was exciting for you?
Definitely. Third round pick, Jonathan Granada, outside linebacker. Another player who most people were expecting to go in the second fell for some reason. Texans were keen on him beforehand. I know they spoke to him during the combine process. He's another exciting player. I think he could definitely be a early contributor. He seems very driven by all accounts. He's a very, very well-liked and very motivated player already down in Houston. So it's exciting to see his development. And the Texans are in need of some depth there. Obviously, they've lost Duke Ejiofor recently, more of a middle linebacker, but lost a bit of depth there. And Whitney Mercilus, as great as he started last year, he did tail off slightly towards the end of the year. So it'll be good to get some more depth outside linebacker, because that is a position where they have struggled ever so slightly the last few years to maintain the same starters. So it's good to see something like that come in. John Reed is impressed. I know the last week or so, the fourth or fifth round rookie out of Penn State. Obviously, he was actually recruited by O'Brien whilst at Penn State at one point. Very talented player by all accounts. I spoke to his head coach just after the draft, and he absolutely raved about his mental strength and his ability and willingness to learn and work hard. So he's going to be a very good, I think, a very positive impact on that special teams unit in particular. They've, again, have a new coordinator as well. So bringing in someone with that sort of mentality on special teams is going to help a lot. But by all accounts, he's been very impressive at cornerback as well. So he's going to be another one to look out for.
Excellent. I mean, I really like what they did in the draft last year. Obviously, Tunsil was the shiny new left tackle, and then they drafted Howard and Sharping, and they joined Martin in the centre. So the line, I think, should be good and for a few years. But, of course, you've seen them much more than I have. Am I being overly optimistic?
No, I don't think so. I think they didn't get enough credit last year. Obviously, Tunsil had far too many penalties, and he's acknowledged that himself. Well, 18 penalties, I think it was top of the league. And he said recently that is something he is really working on. And you can't necessarily blame him for all of that, given the fact that he came in so late to the system and was forced in immediately. He didn't have a huge amount of time to really learn. And especially, I mean, this line has had so much turnover these last few years. It was always going to be an adjustment period for this new line, especially with two rookies coming in from day one. Titus Howard, though, like you mentioned, fantastic player, all rookie lineup. I mean, he had a great year, even though he only played 8 games. Max Sharping, a very solid left guard there, very versatile player as well, which is something O'Brien's always really looked for in most of his players. Zach Fulton had a better year than I think some give him credit for at right guard. And then Nick Martin had a career year at centre after signing a new deal. Perhaps that was the motivator he needed. I don't know. But he had an excellent year at centre. So they're definitely heading in the right direction. It's going to be good to see the Texans offensive line starting for the second straight year exactly as they started the year before. That's going to be great because we have not seen that from the Texans much in recent years. So hopefully they've gone from, 62 sacks in 2018, 44 last year. Hopefully they can drop that down again this year.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with having an underrated and young unit. It might mean you can afford to keep them all together a bit longer, so that'd be really good. And on defence, you mentioned Whitney Mercilus. So I quite like Whitney Mercilus. Yeah, he's had a great couple of years. He's obviously in the linebackers with Cunningham and McKinney, and they're all great players coming back. JJ Watt and Justin Reed are great players. But, I mean, who else is there outside of that? Who are you excited about?
Outside of the fold there, I think Charles Omenihu is someone I'm really looking forward to seeing. He was an absolute steal last year in the draft. He should not have fallen as low as he did. And he showed that, especially later on in the season. He was productive when he came on, and I'm really excited to see some more of him. I spoke to him earlier this year, and he's very motivated. He's playing with a big chip on his shoulder because he does not feel he should have fallen as far as he did. And he wants to prove people wrong. He's playing in his hometown, so that's exciting for him as well. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him hopefully get that starting spot opposite JJ Watt. Another player for me to look out for is going to be Lonnie Johnson, second round pick last year at corner. He had a bit of a rocky first year. There were some very good plays and some relatively poor plays, but that's to be expected from a rookie, let's be honest, especially adjusting to a new system like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's exciting to see him progressing, though. He's been working all summer with a footwork specialist called the Footwork King down in Houston, and you can really see it if you watch some of the clips of their trainings the last few days. His footwork looks excellent, and he's looked very good. Very tall, very aggressive corner, not fazed by anyone. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing him there, especially given that Jonathan Joseph's now left the fold there. So his role is going to become that much more important this year.
And JJ Watt, he's still got it?
He certainly has. Bill O'Brien said earlier today that they're managing his reps a little bit just to make sure, you know, obviously it's only 3 weeks or so essentially till they have to really start preparing for their first game. So they need to ease him into it, make sure he's healthy. But as it stands, everything looks good. He's in great shape as per usual, and everyone's excited to see him. He may be fighting father time a little bit, but he's still only 31. He should still have a good few years left in him.
That is one of the most exciting players in the league still, for sure.
Absolutely.
All in all, the team looks a little bit different, but with Watson, you know, anything seems possible. How are you feeling in what's quite a strong division?
It's going to be a tough division for sure. I think the Titans definitely come into it as the favourites, if we're being honest. I mean, they had an excellent playoff run last year, and they really got into their hot streak towards the end of last season. So assuming they can pick up where they left off, they are the team to beat in the division. I think it's safe to say Texans, for me, are relatively close behind, followed by the Colts. I think the Colts are a very difficult one to predict because obviously great coach, excellent offensive line. I mean, go back, especially 2 years ago, that line was a joy to watch at times.
Yeah.
So, but with Rivers, you don't really know what to expect. Are we going to get the Rivers of the last year or so, or are we going to get the Rivers from 2-3 years ago? It's hard to know what to expect. With this line, he should thrive, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he will. So that's going to be something to watch out for. And then Jonathan Taylor as well. If Rivers thrives, Taylor should thrive as well. So that could be a very dangerous offense, but it is very much a could be. I think that's going to be a wait and see. And then in Jacksonville, obviously, there's been a lot of rebuilding this last year or so. A lot of players moving around. So they're a bit of a question mark at this point in time. Don't really know what to expect from Minshew and don't really know what to expect from a lot of that team. So they could be a bit of a dark horse, but the Colts are the team that confuse me most in that regard, in that we just don't know what to expect from them.
I can absolutely see that. You know, the rookie running back, you don't know what Philip Rivers you're getting, whether he can stay fit, you know, what he's got left. You've seen Manning retire as well from the same draft. So, you know, it's sort of all in on him for a while. But, you know, it's going to be a fun division for sure. And Texans definitely one that we can't ignore.
Absolutely. And I think the Texans, as per usual, they're going to go under the radar. And I can understand that. I mean, they've been underwhelming in the playoffs in recent years. But I think they deserve to be in the running in people's minds because they have got a good team. I know that the Hopkins trade has left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, and I can understand that. Obviously, he's a generational talent. There's no denying that. And he was a hero down in Houston. But at the end of the day, if you look at it objectively, this offense has a lot of talent. There is plenty to be excited about down in Houston. And they really, if they can click, if Kelly and O'Brien can get this unit to click, it's an exciting time to be a Texans fan, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. So what have you got coming up for Sports Illustrated, and where can Texans fans in the UK find you?
So I'm on Twitter at ARWoodNFL. Texans Daily at Sports Illustrated. The articles from me and my colleagues will be coming out every day. Just had my starting lineup come out today. I'm already getting berated for that on social media, so have a quick look at that. But yeah, keep an eye out for all the Texans news. It'll be we'll keep everything up to date as soon as we can.
Excellent. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me. Enjoy the start of the season.
So what about you, Brian? But I liked Anthony's positivity. And I went into that interview questioning what's happening there, especially on offense. But I really had my mind changed, not because they've got a huge amount of elite talent, but they've just got lots and lots of very different talent. You've got the two Johnsons at running back. You've got Cooks, you've got Fuller, you've got Cobb. There's some really, really good players. And, yeah, there's the two tight ends. They just... And Watson is just he's a very varied type, got a very varied type of attack to him. So while they're not full of stars, I think, you know, from what Anthony was saying, they've got a very varied attack. People won't know what's coming. I think there's some truth to that. I think there is still some positivity without Hopkins. What about yourself?
I agree. It was, you know, the Hopkins trade was a little bit crazy, still sort of difficult to get your head around. But, you know, you've got a coach, Bill O'Brien. He makes a few controversial decisions, shall we say. But he's still done a pretty good job. And you're right, they've got weapons all over. I think Watson really is one of the best in the league. I really like the addition of Cobb. He had a great year with the Cowboys last year, and maybe you'll see a bit more action in the other Texas team. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of weapons there. They can get it to work. Why not? Yeah, they can challenge.
I mean, players I didn't mention as well, Kenny Stills, Kiki Cutie, and someone who, a rookie who's getting some love in dynasty circles, fantasy-wise, is Isaiah Coulter, a wide receiver. But that line, for me, is really strong as well. We spoke about it on the interview, but, I mean, Tunsil, Sharping, Martin, and Titus Howard are really young. If they could keep them together for a long time, there's absolutely no reason they can't gel with Watson. So it's not all bad. It's not all down and out, I don't think.
Absolutely, and I think you've seen a lot of teams now for the last couple of years have been building up from the line because there's just so much you can do with that. It obviously helps your running back out, it'll help Watson out, and if you can build a sort of your foundation right there, you should be okay. And it's not just a line, they've got the talent around it to push on and score points.
And talking line, the defensive line, JJ Watt, for me, he took a bit of a step back last year. He's taking some injuries, and he really has been the focal point for the Texans defense for so long. Maybe it's taken its toll. Did you get much chance to see him last year?
Yeah, I saw him, and he was he's sort of incredible, isn't he? Even when he's not on it, he still looks good. And he's certainly the leader of that team. Agree, he's taking a step back. Whether that's just a 1 year thing or he can kick on. But I think a lot does still rest on his shoulders. If he can get going, have another good season, that will definitely help that defense out.
I would have loved to have seen him get MVP that year, MVP of the league. I still want to see someone who's not a quarterback do that.
One day, you never know.
And then, I like the linebacker group, Merciless, Cunningham and McKinney. But there's just not a lot of names on defense. So while there's all the negativity toward after the Hopkins trade, I think the defense might be the one that takes a step back. Lost a few players there. DJ Reader, obviously a key piece. They're going to be competing up there, do you think, with the Titans and Colts? Possibly not the Jags. You know, they're going to be thereabouts again, especially with this extra, the extra playoff place, right?
Yeah, you know, I'd sort of forgot about the extra playoff place. So, yeah, why not? I think they're, as I said before, I think the Titans are the best team in this division, but there's probably not that much in it. And like you say, the Jags are a couple of steps behind. So, who knows? I think they've got a good chance. Like we say, that defense can kick on and the offense can do what everyone thinks it can do. I think they've got a really good shot at it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's going to be a three-horse race and one that you definitely can't pick before the start of the season. It's going to be I'm probably going to lose a bit of money at the bookies on that division.
Aren't we all? Won't be the only division, I can assure you.
And that's all for this week's show. Thank you to our guests for speaking to us, and good luck for your seasons ahead. As always, we'd love to hear your thoughts on the topics we discussed, and any feedback you might have, you can tweet us at 99yards. Thanks for listening.
Flexibility can go a long way. By refinancing your new or used auto loan with PenFed, you can lower your monthly payments for more flexibility in your budget. You can even schedule your first payment for up to 60 days from the date of your refinance. Calculate how much you could save at PenFed.org/autorefi or call 1-800-247-5626 to apply. Membership is open to everyone. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA. A little flexibility can go a long way. By refinancing your new or used auto loan with PenFed, you can lower your monthly payments for more flexibility in your budget. You can even schedule your first payment for up to 60 days from the date of your refinance. Calculate how much you could save at PenFed.org/autorefi or call 1-800-247-5626 to apply. Membership is open to everyone. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.